Well, this hour, an American hero with us, William Forstgen, trying to protect our power grid. We're going to take your calls with him. So get ready to let your fingers do the dialing. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. William Forstgen with us. We'll get to your calls this hour as well. Bill, we were talking about the episode where I believe somebody shot at a power system. Where that was, Fresno?
Fresno, several years back. I mentioned earlier I was at a conference in Dallas. A lot of FBI folks had invited me. That was a hot topic with them, that the security around major transfer systems non-existent. Somebody popped out, I think it was 18 out of 21 of the major transformers in this one location, just using a high-power rifle. Jeez. They popped all 21. Most of Fresno would have been offline. Now, why? We don't know. It's been 3 years, but at the time, and I'm still hearing people say it, it was a test run to see if they could do it.
You think it was?
Yes.
Yeah, it could have been. And they would probably use something a little more powerful than a rifle.
Didn't take much, just a high-power hunting rifle. They popped the containers that the transformers are in, a cooling system that uses a particular type of oil. That starts flowing out, the thing shuts down.
Do you have to know? Do you have to know what you want to hit?
It would help, but it doesn't take much to figure it out. What I was hearing from the FBI people is, why the heck don't they just contain it inside a secured building area, at least with some security on it, rather than these systems that are literally sitting out in the open, just behind a chain link fence?
Very naive, isn't it?
Well, we're not used to thinking this way.
We need to
wake up.
Other countries are thinking this way.
The same way 30 years ago, 20 years ago. It's like if your plane gets hijacked, don't worry about it. Just sit back. They'll negotiate.
I just had a story this week about D.B. Cooper. And remember that case?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in those days, it was easy to hijack a plane.
Sure. It got there for a while. You and I can remember back in the 60s, it was almost like a joke line. Take me to Cuba.
Yes, exactly.
And people were told, just relax. In fact, I remember a news item where people were saying, hey, it was pretty cool. You know, I had an exciting story. We got a couple of days vacation.
Went to Cuba.
Yeah, went to Cuba. I had some margaritas.
All right, let's go to the phones. Sharon in Crane, Missouri. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. Okay, I've got two possible, maybe at least starts. One for a constituency. I urge every one of the Coast listeners out there to take the cost of a latte, go to your post office, purchase stamped postcards, address them to each one of your representatives and senators, and just put a simple message on the back. Fix the electronic grid. Mail it to your representatives. Mail one to the president. If we hit them with a blizzard of paperwork, they'll have to sit up and take notice. And the transformers. We have 3D printers now that are being used in manufacturing. Why doesn't somebody say, we can make these puppies here and start producing them in this country?
Can we make them here with the 3D printers? I don't know. These things are pretty big, aren't they?
First of all, I love her idea in that paper still works better than just sending a text message. If suddenly 100,000 paper letters wound up going into Capitol Hill, it would gridlock them for a day or two, but it would be noticed.
Exactly.
Second, it might be stretching the technology at this point with 3D printers, but she's absolutely right. We should be making national security items, such as our power grid system, we should be making them inside the United States.
Remember the movie Miracle on 34th Street? It was letters. It was the letters to Santa that got the judge to say that this guy was Santa Claus.
Yes, I love that.
Can you imagine if they were just simply text messages to the court? It wouldn't have had the same impact, would it?
No. It's actual. She's dead on right. Use the snail mail. 100,000 letters. Consider all your listeners, George. If each person only sent out a letter to their congressman, their two senators, and the president, it would generate quite a few million items of mail in the next couple of days.
I think so, too. By the way, the Senate today has just approved a two-year budget bill. It now will go to the – they've been working around the clock after the government shut down. It's still technically shut down. Now it goes to the House for a vote where they don't think it could pass. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Gridlock.
Another gridlock indeed. Look what happened to Puerto Rico with its horrible situation. It's still – it is still out of power in some spots.
That is the underreported story of the year. I really,
tragic.
When that happened, I was talking with friends who are involved in this issue, and we were all in agreement. Just keep telling that story, but then link it to what could happen to the mainland. It was off the grid, in part because they didn't have the infrastructure to be broadcasting the story about what was happening outside of the major cities. Puerto Rico is still in agony. The casualty rate's going to be infinitely higher. The economy there has collapsed. I just saw an article a couple of days ago of several hundred thousand refugees that just quietly, since they're American citizens, have gone into Texas and Florida until this is recovered.
Let's go to Paul in Michigan and east of the Rockies. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad to get through to you.
Perfect.
I'm just a huge fan.
Thank you, Paul.
I drive a semi-truck, and I must have listened to your audio tapes at least a dozen times.
Thanks.
But anyways, it just pulls my hair out every time I hear the news that the North Koreans have the missile technology, they have the bomb technology, they just got together the two, but they always talk about they haven't perfected the heat shield for reentry once they shoot off a missile, and I go to myself. People, they don't need a heat shield because if their main thing would be an EMP. I just like, what are you folks talking about? They're not going to just take up one city. They want to, like you said in your book, they want to level the playing field.
That's right.
The only way they could do that is an EMP. You don't need a heat shield for reentry. And the other thing I wanted to ask is just because you do know Newt Gingrich. Thank God for Judge Judy. She's the only one I ever hear talking about it on Fox News on Saturday night. But, how he isn't going to President Trump and just screaming to the top of his lungs, we need to make this an issue. I mean, President Trump would be such a hero, if something really the whole country could grasp on, if they could start talking about a potential EMP or would that just scare everybody? I just can't figure out why.
He should shift his focus from this wall to fixing the grid.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Those polls would go up, up, and up, don't you think, Bill?
Again, thanks to the caller on
Yeah, thank
it.
You,
and
Paul.
You said, the polls will go up, but we still have to keep pushing more public awareness. I think we're at a break point right now, such as with your caller. It's a major issue. But if we can just get some more emphasis on that, that people will say, yeah, this is even more important than the wall at this moment and a lot of other things. Get it done.
Well, you know what we need? We need papers like the New York Times to do front page stories on stuff like this.
Wall Street Journal does.
Yeah.
Wall Street Journal has been taking this very seriously for quite a few years.
Yeah, but the ranking, the average American doesn't read the
doesn't
Wall Street
read.
Journal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably not even the New York Times.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
You've got to get network television behind it. I'm going to keep battling away. I can't do it alone. I got to get other major media behind me. These people don't get it.
There's the problem. Usually with these type of situations, it comes from the bottom up. It comes from the average citizens waking up to an issue many times before the leadership does. The more people are out there talking about it, your show tonight will have a ripple effect. If it brings another 100,000 people onto the issue, we're going to hit a critical mass point. When we do, there will finally be enough pressure on Trump and on the nutcases up in Congress to do something.
Let's go to John in Simi Valley, California now, first-time caller. John, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, George. Truly a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
My question is, okay, if they're not going to be able to protect the power grid, could we, like at welding shops, you could buy sheets of lead. Could we, I don't know, sheet our own power to try to keep it?
What do you think, Bill?
Very good question. You don't need lead. You need Faraday cages. Simply go on. What is a Faraday cage? You put.
It's like an insulated cage.
Right. You just put critical component items into a Faraday cage. In fact, everybody has a Faraday cage in their house already. It's a microwave. That prevents that radiation from getting out. You can stick some key components inside an old.
And let me read the definition, okay? A Faraday cage is an enclosure used to block electromagnetic fields. A Faraday shield may be formed by a continuous covering of conductive material, in the case of a Faraday cage, by a mesh of materials. And that's basically what it is, right?
I suggest to people, if you're really getting serious about this, you can make a Faraday cage quite easily. You can buy them online. There's quite a market for it. Have some backup components, such as a couple of phones, a couple of walkie-talkies. If you're going more high-tech, even some key components for an automobile. Absolutely, yeah, and it's part of my emphasis. Don't wait for the feds to do something. Be prepared, starting in your own home.
And they were
backup supplies.
They were invented in 1836 by Michael,
a guy named Faraday.
Michael Faraday. I bet he was a genius, like Tesla.
There were quite a few like that in the 19th century.
What would they be saying today?
People are crazy.
About the argument of not protecting the grid. I think you're right. They would say you folks are crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, you've got the know-how, you've got the technology, you've got the smarts, fix it. You live with electricity. Without it, you go back to the Stone Age.
It's like a Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but when it comes to our own biology.
I hate to say this.
What? 3 minutes without oxygen.
That's right. I hate to say this, but wouldn't it be interesting to test an outage in one city for a week and see what happens? There would be such an outcry to protect the power grid nationwide, it wouldn't be funny.
Well, as I mentioned early in the show, I witnessed it in Lafayette, Indiana, big ice storm back around 91, 10 days. We're talking about a university town. Now, we had a safety island of Purdue University that had its own power grid. But within 10 days, people really were beginning to freak out. They had to put security on the repair trucks because people were blocking the roads. And no matter how much these guys try to explain, look, the big towers calling the electricity here are down. We're just picking up the broken wires and reconnecting things. No, people were going crazy. That's a small university town. Imagine New York City, Chicago, or L.A.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Let's go to Hollywood, Maryland. Frank's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Frank.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you. I missed the caller in the family, Jeff of Culver City. I haven't heard from him in 6 months.
We haven't heard from him in a long time. We're a little worried about him, Frank, to tell you the truth.
Here's what I would do. I would, if I were the president, I would get the time on a Monday night and say, listen, I'm going to take an hour. I want the electricians and the politicians and the grid people to come and tell us what we need to do, what would happen if we didn't protect the grid. And there's a passage in the Bible that says, our Lord told us that during the last days, we will reach and beg for death, but it will not come. That sounds like the response from an EMP attack. And if you get the following people, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, who I work for, and Warren Buffett, if they put up the money, would Congress thwart them? And what department would they put that money on the desk of Department of Energy, Homeland Security or Department of the Interior?
Or all of the above, probably, Frank. All of the above. But I would take it a little further if I were the president. And this announcement that would be made before the American public at night on television and nationwide radio, I'd carry it, I'd put it on, would be not do we have the know-how or the technology or what would happen. We already know that, William. He's got to say we are fixing it. That's what he's got to say.
Again, George, my frustration of what happened with Hawaii last month, where we were watching people running around in panic. What a moment that we should have had an administration address the country the next day and say, look, a lot of people in Hawaii had to change their underwear yesterday. Got a lot scared out of them. Isn't this a wake-up call?
Mm-hmm.
We have to be better prepared. Not necessarily, not for a nuclear strike hitting the ground, but as one your previous caller said, doing it as an EMP.
Yep.
They can do it right now.
Mike in Texas.
Wake-up call.
Go ahead, Mike.
Hi there. Well, I don't have to wonder about what I would do. I already know. I've been living a subsistence existence ever since Harvey hit here. It hit just about a mile from where I'm sitting right now.
Oh, geez.
I live in a motor home. If I didn't have it prepared, I had full water. I had a generator. Everything.
What's it run on, propane?
No, the generator runs on gas.
It does. Natural gas,
available.
And what do you do? You hook it up?
The generator runs on gas, just unleaded gas.
Oh, like gasoline, you mean?
Gasoline.
Okay.
Gasoline. But, it's been quite a revelation. We had, it's been going on 6 months now. We still have some services here that are not available. We managed the first 2 or 3 weeks. Everybody just kind of pulled together, and we pulled our foods and what have you. The military was a big help, taking in the ice and potable water. If it hadn't been for them, I don't know what would have happened. That was what kept the whole thing going. So we did have water available to us. But I was just amazed at some of the things I saw. We had, about the first 2 or 3 days, we had very limited supplies, and women are using the drink water, bottled drinking water, to wash their hair.
Oh, wasting it.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I always had to wash my hair.
Wasting it. Well, you're right. You're right about that. And I got to tell you, in St. Louis, William, when the weather teams on television announce a blizzard is coming or a big snowstorm, the stores are empty that night. Empty that night.
Bread and milk.
And the other problem is we won't be in a position to restock once they're gone. Then what do you do?
George, you and I have a good mutual friend in Josh Warren.
Yes. He's going to be on next week, by the way, from Puerto Rico.
Great. I'll have to listen.
Next Friday.
Josh and I have talked since the event there, and boy, he'll give you a good earful.
He sure will.
Down in Puerto Rico.
He sure will. Stay with us. We're going to come back with final phone calls with William Forstchen, and then we're going to talk later on tonight about telepathy and remote viewing right here on Coast to Coast AM. But right now, we're talking about protecting our power grid. I like Sharon's idea from Crane, Missouri. Send a postcard to your senator or Congress and just bombard them. Tell them, fix the grid. We'll be back with William Forstchen in just a moment, taking your calls as we talk about protecting the power grid. We're all going to be heroes if we can get this done. Live events all coming up March, April, and June. Where are they? And come see us, because they're great stage shows. We do meet and greets, music, special guests. Everything's there, and everything's at our coasttocoastam.com website. And you can get your tickets right through there, because it links you right to the theaters of Salt Lake City, March 10th at the Janae Wagner Theater. Scottsdale, Arizona, Saturday, April 21st at the Virginia G. Piper Theater. June 9th in Las Vegas at the Silverton Casino Hotel in Las Vegas. Now, all you need to do is go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, click events. You'll see it right there at the top of the homepage. and then scroll down, and all these events are there, and come by and see them. As far as Vegas is concerned, nice little vacation for you in June. But if you live in the Salt Lake City area or Scottsdale, Arizona, Phoenix, come on by and see us. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment with William Forstgen, author of a number of books, including, of course, 1 Second After, 1 Year After. And, of course, the latest, William, is?
Final Day, and I've just finishing up a book right now about CME. Working title is either Carrington's Warning or The Third Day.
Okay, good. Let's hope people wake up. When is that one scheduled out?
Well, I still have yet to deliver it. Most likely by the end of the year.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it takes time.
Yeah.
The book business is different these days, isn't it?
Oh, it has changed profoundly in the last. Well, as you know as well, you're published.
Yeah.
The way it worked 15 years ago compared to now, very different.
Huge. Let's go. Eric in Fairbanks, Alaska. Welcome to the show, Eric. Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. Hey, I'm just calling to let you know that there's one company that still produces grain-oriented electrical steel, the same kind of steel that's used in these transformers, and it's a company out of Ohio called AK Steel. As far as I understand, they're the only ones in the United States who produce this steel that can be put in transformers.
Jeez, the lone one standing, huh?
Mm-hmm. One left standing. And the government is kind of doing something, sort of. The Commerce Department has launched a Section 232 investigation to see whether or not all this illegal dumping of steel is impacting national defense, like countries like South Korea, China, Vietnam, dumping all this steel on our shores. And here on February 16th, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is set to make a decision and make impose tariffs. So,
well, that's
let's
that's
not all turn this into a Trump bashing event. We are getting things done here.
Well, yeah, but it's not the power grid. You know, steel imports and exports. I mean, is Bethlehem Steel even manufacturing anymore?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't think so.
I think it went down quite a few years ago.
I do too. It got sold. I had a Navy buddy who used to work there. I don't think it's there anymore. Somebody from Pittsburgh, call me and tell me.
I used to live in Allentown area, and I remember that was when I first moved there in the 70s, major thing. I think it's all gone now.
Sad. Joe in Long Island, welcome to the program. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Bill. It's a great movie called The Thing with Kurt Russell that was a metaphor on this. You know, it was set in Antarctica, and, you know, everything. First, the helicopters weren't working, and the local electricity went out as the movie kind of came to a climax, but I thought of that with Sandy. 10 days later, I walk home and the lights are on the block. I'm like, this is beyond belief, you know. But my question would be about the sun. What would it be about 8 minutes for the solar flare to hit? And obviously, the sun is a rogue element in this. And also, what probability do you put on non-state actors eventually having or may already have nuclear cash or whatever, say like ISIS, for example? I mean, they've got a lot of money from oil, and they could purchase this stuff on the open market.
First of all, with non-state actors, major concern there. North Korea, Iran linked together. A very worrisome scenario is handing off this type of capability to something like ISIS, Al-Qaeda. You can imagine what they would do with it in a heartbeat.
It's a very serious
issue.
And by the way, nobody's bashing President Trump. We want the grid fixed.
Far better than what we were dealing with a year and a half ago.
Yeah. We want the grid fixed. And I think it's a responsibility of the president to get it done, don't you?
Absolutely. And yet again, the Republican platform of 2016, some people paid attention to it. I sure did. It was smack in the platform to address this issue. Still waiting.
Is it buried? Where is it?
It was right out there in the open. I think it was around page 50 or so. I remember Newt sending it up to me.
I mean, where is it now?
Gridlock, the swamp, where are so many things?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, they can't even agree on a budget. So how are they going to agree on fixing a power grid?
And when you have members of Congress sitting there playing Candy Crush or checking out their emails during a presidential speech, that one little indicator of what's wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Josh in Colorado's with us. Hey, Josh, welcome to the program. Nope, he's not ready yet. Let's go to our first-time caller, John in Houston, Texas. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'd like to know your opinion on what would happen if you were completely off the grid and a solar flare or EMP went off. If you had, you know, say, your own solar panels or something like that, would you be in the same boat?
Probably. No, you'd probably be in great shape if you were off the grid and everyone else lost power. You'd be able to survive longer than they would, that's for sure. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, and to go back to the previous caller's comment, a CME travels at significantly slower than the speed of light. It actually has mass.
It would take days to get here from the sun, right?
2 to 3 days.
Two to three days.
As this gentleman pointed out, yeah, if you have things like solar panels and such, you have a couple of days warning. And something like that, I would make sure my panels were secured, even stored, just in case. Though manufacturers are claiming they are now CME proof, but I'm not going to bet the barn on that. If you have your own system and you're in a secured area, your survivability is quite high.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can survive longer than most. Now, here's the problem. You better have a well, because mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to get water from a store or out of your faucet if the power goes out. But the biggest problem, Bill, I think, is when the nuclear power plants are shut down.
I referenced several times that conference I was to in Dallas. I had thousands of folks in this type of industry. Major, major discussion area right there.
That's huge.
It's not the actual nuke plant itself. It's the storage facilities for the fuel.
It's the fuel rods. That's the fuel rods, which you won't be able to cool.
So much for 30 years of not creating a centralized storage system, because all our nuke plants store the spent fuel on site. That you lose the power, you lose the ability to cool it, and about 2 weeks out, you will have Chernobyl.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Let's go to St. Louis. JP's with us. How's the weather out there, JP? I'll be out there in a few weeks.
Good morning, George. Yes, I'm jealous of you. You're out of our cold weather. You'll probably be back when it's warmer, maybe.
Perfect. Springtime.
Yeah. Hey, you know, this subject comes up a lot, and I really hope we could get all the callers to call their congressman or some, get somebody on this. But mm-hmm. at one point, I think I'm more afraid of a solar flare for this reason. If any enemy was to do what you're talking about off the Gulf, set up these rockets and stuff, okay, just like you said, how many nuclear reactors we have in the U.S.? If it's hundreds or 100, that would screw them up on the other side of the world, so they'd be cutting their own throat, wouldn't they?
Unfortunately, people like Kim Jong-un don't think about that, do they, Bill?
No, and we're seeing it playing out. One of the arguments regarding retaliation is you got Russia on one side, China, Japan. He could hit us, but we might hesitate in terms of actually going full scale back. Amongst other things, in the opening move, it's estimated casualties in Seoul just from conventional attack would exceed 30,000 casualties within the first couple of hours of a war.
I've got a friend of mine who ran for state representative in the St. Louis area, and he won. Mm-hmm. He won. He's a young attorney. He's a well-liked guy. I mean, he's got gubernatorial possibilities, Senate possibilities, maybe even president one day. I mean, he's got that John Kennedy-esque look to him. And I told him, I said, David, use this as one of your platforms.
Yes.
Protect the power grid in Missouri and use it as an issue and talk about it in the Senate, in the House of Representatives there in the state level. And I said, watch your popularity soar. And he didn't even know what it was. He said, what do you mean protect the power grid? So I told him about your book, and, you know, he came back to me 6 months later and said, you were right. I should have used this as part of my campaign stuff, because it's huge. But at least I got one legislator in Missouri interested in it.
Pass along my email address to him. Tell him if he wants copies for every other member in his state government, I'll make sure they go there. My publisher When it comes to getting it to political representatives, my publisher is a real patriot.
Perfect.
We've handed out copies in quite a few government establishments.
Now we go to Josh in Colorado. Hi, Josh. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Thank you for calling.
Hey, listen, just that legislator that you just spoke about, mm-hmm. who was a fan of the book, wasn't the only legislator to speak about this gentleman's books. If I remember correctly, it was Newt Gingrich who recommended to the entire floor to read One Second After.
Oh, yeah. Newt is a friend of Bill Forstchen. They're dear friends.
Yeah.
Newt was actually the inspiration. He pushed me to write the book, and then he helped get it out to every member of Congress without results, but it's still pushing things forward. Newt is a big spokesman.
That's almost as good as like a letter issued to everyone as an urgent warning. But anyway, I want to point out, you brought up something earlier that someone in my field investigates, which was the power grid almost taken down with a small powered rifle. Now, this mm-hmm. could happen in all major cities across the United States. This is a big deal. Why isn't the CIA, NSA, Department of Homeland Security investigating their most greatest vulnerability right now, even though that maybe that operation was a test run, maybe it wasn't, we don't know, but we do know there's a great hole in our infrastructure. What's the deal? What can we do to raise awareness against this?
I heard one scenario pointing out that if a hit was done on something like 20 to 30 major transfer points,
that one time,
we have a major disruption.
Yeah, that one time.
We as Americans,
hey, look, what do we do? What do we do, Bill, when we go into war into a country like Iraq? What do? The first thing we do is we take out command and control.
Right.
Knock out the power.
Move in 91 and again in 03.
Yep.
Command and control.
That's what you do. And that's, they don't have our kind of technology, so they do it with lower tech things like rifles, which are still effective.
A major concern I'm hearing is the increasing computerization of our military in any tactical situation, meaning right down to the platoon squad level on the battlefield, and concern that they could actually see tactical use of EMPs, non-nuclear, that would suddenly blind a unit, cut off command and control.
Hmm. So, let's go to Brian in Indiana now. Brian, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Brian.
George, I've been listening to the show for years, and it's been you and your personality that has brought me back every time, and I appreciate you very much.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Bill, I remember the ice storm you were talking about being in when you were in Lafayette, because I was in Kokomo.
Okay, nearby.
Yes, sir. And I lived on the edge of town. I was only out of power edge of downtown, but I was only out of power for like 24 hours.
You were lucky.
I had an aunt and uncle that lived out in the rural community, and they were without for 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh,
that was devastating.
Yeah.
Did they have to leave their house?
Yes, they did, because they would have froze.
Yep.
But also, here in Indiana, I just want to put it out there that my local representative, Bill Friend, sends out questionnaires. And one of the questions on this latest questionnaire was, do you feel that Indiana's power grid is safe? So,
smart guy.
Yes, sir. And it is good to know that at least they're talking about it. And one last thing.
Sure.
I will never be convinced that digital currency is a good thing and taking and making cash disappear.
I do not want cash to disappear. I do not want a cashless society, Bill. That's another story all by itself, but I kind of like the feel of a $2 bill.
Well, my family, we have the get out of Dodge bags for my daughter, my stepdaughter, my wife. There's some silver coinage in those bags for them in the event of emergency.
And where do you keep your gold bullion, Bill?
I'm not going to tell you.
Come on. Well, you're not going to tell me. Don't you? You trust me, don't you?
Let's just say it's safe.
We only got a minute left, Bill. Would you tell people where they can still get your books, your website, and if they need to email me, what they can do?
Oh, sure. Get the book almost anywhere. Usual distributor now is Amazon or BNN. 1 second after, 1 year after, and final day are the trilogy about EMP. I got another one coming out later this year, around December. Any good bookstore. Or they can contact you. You have links from your website into mine. You can just simply look up 1 second after. Gosh, my wife isn't here at the moment. I think it's 1 second after book or 1 second after.com.
1 second after.com. That's what it is,
yeah.
My friend. Thank you again, Bill. Keep in touch with us, my friend. And thank you for what you do for us.
Thanks for getting the word out, George.
We are not going to stop. Darn, we're not going to stop. We've got too many things we need to do. Up next, we're going to talk about telepathy and remote viewing on Coast to Coast AM.